We have one mic. There's another mic. Ooh, listen to that. There's no echo cathedral. All right. Thank my wife, and we got some help. So, all righty. And there are a few that are straggling in yet, but it's time to begin. Good morning and welcome. It's good to see each one of you. And John, we're glad you came back. I know the way that people were treating you, it was hard, but we're glad you came back. And we're calling him Ono now because there's Hunana and Onana or something like that, I don't know. And John's Ono, so. All right, and Jordan with Rosie and Evie. All right. Come on in. Sit down, Jordan. Sit down. What are you doing? Get out of the way. All right. And there's Brother Hollis. We're not going to say anything about him. All righty. Jenny, is this like your third Sunday here? I think it is, isn't it? Okay. All righty. We're going to remember that next Sunday. You better be here. Lord willing. Lord willing. Yes. For all of us. There you go. Yeah, that too. What's that? She will not be. No. Family. All righty. Okay, well, let's see. Otherwise, who has a colored bulletin insert? Yay, Carolyn. Carolyn's got one. She's special today. Somebody else. Somebody else. I know there's two out there. Come on. This is always a mystery. I think some people just lie and don't confess up. Is that you, Michelle? Oh, okay. Well, we're going to pretend. We're going to pretend anyway, since you did that. So Michelle is, no, you don't accept it. Okay. Well, join the club. All right. Let's see what we've got going here. Wednesday night, Bible study at 6, and we're in 2 Peter chapter 2 and following. And the numbers are growing, so yes, Dwayne, you want to say something about it? Oh, your mom did? Okay, Anita, congratulations. I guess we never actually gave a proper applause to Carolyn and Anita. Give it. Give it up. Give it up. All right. Love you, ladies. Dwayne, did you want to say something about the Bible study? Cool. Yes, Dwayne's been a nice addition as well. I hope that won't keep some of you from coming, knowing that he's here. But whoo, watch the numbers roll in now. Okay, all right. And then next Sunday is Father's Day. We'll be having special celebration, so be aware of that. And then Ron brought a full bottle back in today already. So those of you who still have a bottle, next Sunday would be it. And there's still a couple there that haven't been claimed. So help yourselves. That goes for Life Choices Pregnancy Center. Bonfire, dogs, and s'mores. That's on the Saturday. No, it's a Friday. That's a mistake. It's a Friday the 26th. Okay, Friday, her bad. We'll correct that for next Sunday, but it's going to be Friday, and we're going to be providing the hot dogs and s'mores stuff, so you can bring a snack along with if you want, roasting stick and a chair. Otherwise, it's going to be back there where the piles of wood is. Yeah, going to burn those babies up. Yep. And don't forget it, and I talked to the fire marshal, so we're good. All right. Well, we'll see. He said it'd be. He's hoping it'll be raining when we do it. I have another story about that, but not for now. Not right now. 28th, 2 days after that, will be our first back monthly food and fellowship fair. Actually, it's going to be for like March, April, May, and June. April, May, and June. We missed those. So triple the food. Yes, triple the fun. Triple the fellowship. Okay. And on the back pew, some of you have been browsing through already, we have much excess fresh food being brought from the food bank, and we can't keep up giving enough away, and Sherry's been bringing some as well. So please help yourselves. There are bags there. You can put them in or whatever. Pick up a box and take it, whatever. Get it out of here, all right? And pass it on if you need to. Is that it? All right. And on the front of our bulletin is the scripture that we're sharing is connected with what Brother Hollis is going to be sharing with us this morning. From John chapter 15. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that you your joy may be complete. What a good promise from Jesus, huh? And so we want to remain in his love together and share that joy. Father, we thank you. As always, once again, that we can come into your house today freely and to gather together, to unite in physically as well as spiritually, to just give you the praise that you alone are worthy of. Thank you, Father, for each one that is here and mindful of those that can't be with us today. We just want to honor and glorify you today, and so we open our hearts to you. And we pray that your Spirit would bless and anoint every aspect of our worship. As Hollis shares with us, and as we receive, that we'll be able to experience what you desire in this hour. We give you praise for it in your Son's name. Amen. Stand and greet.
The Bible says, touch not God's anointed. Touch not God's anointed. Now they're all going to say, well, you're not anointed anyway, so it doesn't matter. All right.
Yes, I get that. I get that sort of abuse all the time at home, so no problem. Whew, boy, it's a good thing I'm not preaching this morning because I got smacked down. Bye, Evie. Thank you, Alma. Alma. First, it's Bob and Ron, and then okay, it's a good thing I'm not preaching, right, Hollis? You got this. You got this. Brother Hollis has got a word for us that God has laid on his heart, and I hope your hearts are open to it. Bring it on. Bring it on. Our prayers are with you.
And I need them. I need them. I need them. I need them. Yes, sir, I will. I got the bag of change.
We're always like this.
Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Give me just a second. Let me get myself together. Y'all know I'm an old soul, slow Southern. You know, I'm consistent, but not very fast. That this here is going to be difficult for me this morning because I really want to get this right. And I know God will help me do that, but sometimes I just don't. I want to make sure I hear him right. The question that we're going to be trying to answer this morning is, did the Ten Commandments still applicable to society today? Do we still need them? And so we're going to start with the reading of the Ten Commandments, and Mr. Osborne's going to do that for us.
Exodus 21 through 7. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name.
Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And before we get into the Ten Commandments, we're going to look at Jesus and his opinion and his commandments. Because we kind of got away from the Ten Commandments because Jesus is the new covenant. It's only through him that we can be reconciled back and put back with the Father through the blood of the Lamb. And we know in Mark 12:31 that, and I pray for, Jesus was known for speaking in parables, but he was also great about paraphrasing and summarizing. He was great at that. So I'm going to do a little paraphrasing and summarizing today too. You know, and in Mark 12:30-31, what it really boils down is to love God with everything I got and to love the neighbor, my neighbor as myself. I just summarized that scripture. I didn't change the scripture. I just summarized it. And I think God, Jesus, had no intents of saying abandon the Ten Commandments. He just summarized them down to people that had a working knowledge of the Ten Commandments. Like if I ask Brother John, what does the Ten Commandments mean? Well, he knows. He can go to Mark or Matthew in the Bible. He knows exactly what that means. But what if I have no idea what the love of God should look like? What if I have no idea how to love myself? And that's what the Ten Commandments do for me. It breaks it down. Some of y'all know I was a baseball coach, and here comes that baseball. Brother John says I like baseball because it's what I know. I did it for 34 years, okay? And the 12-6 curveball is a very easy curveball to teach. The trick is teaching it without a young man injuring its arms. All right? If I got a high school student, I will summarize if he's not getting the break on the ball because he already knows the curveball. But if I got a small kid, there's a drill that I have them do, and it's very central. And the drill is thumb to pocket, ball to wall, 12 o'clock, rotate, turn the light switch off with your finger like hitting a light switch. And if he rotates before 12 o'clock, and if he rotates back here, while this elbow's still behind this shoulder, it's only a matter of time before he's going to blow his elbow out. So knowing when and where to rotate that ball before you go to pull it down is the difference from blowing your elbow out or not. And that's what the Ten Commandments does for me. It teaches me how to put the ball to the wall, the thumb to the pocket, rotate at the right time, turn the light switch off, or turn the light switch on in my life of God. I need a working knowledge of God before I can understand his love. You know, in there in John 15 and 12, you know, paraphrasing again, but what it boils down is Jesus demanded us to love one another as he had loved us. What does that look like? Once again, God's love is expressed perfectly between God and man to one another in the Ten Commandments. We know that in Hebrews 9:15, that, paraphrasing again, but just summarizing down, that Jesus was gave all authority on this earth and how we should be. We know that. You know, but he did not come to change the bad law that God has put in place. He came to replace and give a way out of the sins that was created in the first covenant. There was nothing wrong with God's law. Nothing. It was man's perception of his law that became the problem. That we were looking at God through our head and our intellect and not through our heart. Not through that unconditional love. And we know in Matthew 28:16-20 that the Great Commission, paraphrasing again, that our job is to spread across the land that there's only one way back to the Father, and that's through the Son, through the blood of the Lamb. And our job is to spread that message all across the world. A paraphrase, there's more there, but that's what it boils down to. That's what it boils down to. I had fears of a 10-year-old boy recently watching what I've watched on the TV. If you wonder what a society that don't take in consideration of God and operates only in their emotions and their fears, you can look at some of the stuff that's been happening in our major city. And their pain is real. Their frustration is real. But they're just confused. And confused people do crazy things in the moments. Doesn't make them good or bad. I played baseball as a kid between 12 and 10 and 12 years old in a place called Chickasaw, Alabama. And Highway 65 that run north going up to northern Alabama outside of Mobile ran on by our baseball park. And across the street was a big field, empty field. Chickasaw was an all-white community. No black people lived in there. But every time from Pritchard or downtown Mobile or from up in Saraland or Sims or someone like that, when a black baseball team would come to our park and play, the Ku Klux Klan would have a rally across and burn crosses and stuff. In a protest of people allowing black baseball teams from black communities come and play in Chickasaw. It's an experience to be on a hill pitching and hatred across two lanes of highway burning while you're trying to just be a 10-year-old boy. I saw a sign that said an individual was holding no justice, no peace. And then I kept listening for someone to tell me what they thought peace was. And I never heard it. Never heard it. There's only one justice in this world. Only one. And his name is Jesus Christ. He hung on a cross. He died for all mankind's sin. If you're looking for justice, and it doesn't come out of this book right here, you're seeking vengeance. Trust me, I know. I walked around with a long time with a heavy heart after my son died in a mysterious way with a gunshot wound to his head. And I had a brother telling me constantly in my ear, I needed to get justice for my son's death. But some of the things that he was recommending to me in the name of justice was nothing more but good old man's vengeance. There's only one place to find true justice. And it starts at that cross on Calvary. And until all humanity accepts the fact that God offered up his only son to cover up our sins and give us a second chance to be at one with him again. One way or another, from now on, we will be offering up our sons and daughters in riots and dying and burning or on the battlefields, but we will be sending them to some form of their spiritual and physical death in the name of man's justice, because there is no justice in the man's mind. I'm incapable of understanding and coming up with true justice through my own mental ability. All justice starts with God Almighty and his Son and the Holy Ghost. And anything else is just a counterfeit. It's just a counterfeit. We've got to bring the Ten Commandments back to our children. We have to lay that foundation. I can't be mad at a young man that throws a brick through a window that feels that he's been done injustice and he has no idea who God is. And as me as a Christian, I have not took time out to make sure that he got that information. I'm not responsible for what he does with that information, but I'm definitely responsible as a Christian that he gets that information. And if I don't step up and say, no, brother, let me give you this information to work off of too, I know personally God will hold me accountable. Said, you saw my children. You saw them hurting. You saw them in pain. You let people tell them crazy ideals that was peace and justice. You never once mentioned me to them. I'm not mad at them. You claim to be my servant. And when my children was broke the most, you didn't serve them. I don't want to have that conversation with my Lord and Savior. I don't want to have that conversation. We have to get that back. And we have to get back to prayer. And I was wondering what I was going to preach on prayer. And a friend of ours texted some information to my wife a couple of days ago. I was really struggling. And she texted that that she had not had anything to drink in 16 days, which is a miracle for her, in my opinion. And she quoted Mother Teresa. And what she quoted to Mother Teresa, it's famous. Some people know, some people didn't know. I'm familiar. I don't think my wife was. But what Mother Teresa said at one time, in her beginning, she thought that praying would change the world. And as she got older, she realized that no, prayer don't change the world. Prayer changes me, and I change the world. That's why prayer is so important. It's not for me to pray to change the world, to make the world better, out there in some abstract place. It's for me to change the world and make it better right in here in my heart. Prayer gives me a heart of God. Prayer gives me a heart of Jesus Christ. And through that heart, I can change the world. If we don't get the Ten Commandments back to our children, if we don't teach our children how to pray to God Almighty, there will come a day that we will be held accountable. They need to know that foundation. So I say to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, as you leave here today, if you do anything else with the child that's in your life, if you teach them anything, teach them how to read, write, teach them whatever, but be sure to teach them about the unconditional saving grace of God's love. Because that will sustain them when everything else on the face of the earth won't. Thank you for letting me share today. Brother John, will you come and close us in prayer?
I will, but we're going to sing first.
Well, you can do that too, brother.
We had earlier the need to trust God even when it seems like He's not doing what we want Him to do. We learn to trust Him in everything. And even sometimes we may have questions about trusting His commandments and how effective that might be in our lives. The song says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. And so we trust Him, we obey His word, and then we have that sweetness in Jesus. Let's stand together and sing. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Thank you, Father, for the truth of that song, for the truth of your word, for how your spirit